right, this is homeschooling for him. This is part three, and this is apply. And this is lesson eight, which is uniquely created. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we give you this time that we have, Lord. May you be exalted in all of this. Father, we praise you and thank you for all things that you do. We pray, Lord, that you would be in each one of our homes, Lord. We pray that you would help us to be keepers of the home. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to be helpers suitable to our husbands as we adapt to him and his needs. We pray, Father, that our children would rise up and bless us and our children and our husband also. Father, we pray that you would help us to speak good things into our children's life as we walk by the way, as when we lie down and rise up. We praise you and thank you for this time. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I always like to start with scripture because that's the most important thing anyway, and that is Psalm 139, 14. It says, I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Genesis 1:27 says, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And in Genesis 2:18 says, then the Lord said, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. What I want to talk about today is being created creative. Hard thing to say. I believe that women are very, very unique, and we are created and to be very creative. I know so many women who say, I'm not creative, but if you talk to them for a while, they may compare themselves to someone else, but if you talk to them, all women are very creative in their own way. I am not Martha Stewart, but I can copy some of her things, and you may be one of those too. Some people can just think things up. I'm just the great imitator. I can look at things and I can say, oh, I could do that. Just give me a little bit of this or something that I have in my hand and I can change things. And I think as homeschool mothers, it would really, really good. Over the years, I've become more and more creative when I am doing teaching materials because I find that what's there, and a lot of them are made by homeschool moms or whatever like that, but it may be suited to them, but it may be not suited to you or to your child. And even within your children, there are different things that you need to be creative with and using what you have. And when we get away from all of those curriculum and book and things like that, you'll find that not only is more fun, more interesting, but it stays in their mind. And that's what it's all about. What good is it if they go through this workbook? You have really a false sense of security. You think, I'm doing a good thing because they made it through here and they have the right grades or whatever. And really, the whole school system is a false security. Even Christian school, I have a false security. I think this is what's happening. Or when we turn our religious training or our training of God to over to the church, I believe they're getting this when, in fact, they may not know it. How many testimonies have you heard recently? I've been in the church. My father was a pastor, and I was never saved until last week, and she's, you know, in her mid-40s. You know, we can't turn our blessings over to somebody else and believe that everything's okay. You have to know, and it comes from us. We have been given, or we can get, what we need for our own children to be able to meet each one of their needs. And as we do that, we become different. Those are what buff us. That's what matures us. You know, so many homeschool moms have said, you know, I never got an education until I began homeschooling my own children. And that is what, that is really my, that's my whole testimony. I mean, I went through school and got straight A's all the way through school, even through college. And I came out useless. I mean, absolutely useless. I mean, I was like, what did I spend all my time? Even in college, I think if I had just majored in home economics, maybe, you know, I would have done a lot better. But I'm not turning that over to anyone. They are my responsibility. And besides, as we learned before, if we have foolish children who become foolish adults, it will bring grief to us because they'll always be our children. And so this is what we need to do. But that creativity, you must know and you must believe. And if you don't think you have it, then I would just challenge you to say, God, show me. I think Aaron's off on this, but show me. If I have creativity, show me. And he might show you things new in your head or, you know, things in the future or things that you've already done. And if you don't have enough, and you think you need more, than ask. Because it says, you know, if you ask, I'll give it to you, you know, and you don't have it because you don't ask. And it says all good things come from above. So if you don't have what you feel you need, then you simply need to ask him. And so, and later on in the lesson, I'm going to discuss, too, how we can help to develop our children's creativities. Because, unfortunately, with all that we have, TV and all that, we're putting a damper on our children. And as we feed that and try and come up with something to, amuse them or help them to play or something, we are really ruining their creativity, which they so desperately need and which is so lacking today. And just those few people that have some creativity really go to the top because there's really no competition. So if your children, you know, you want them to be leaders and successful in life, just make sure that they have creativity and help them and guide them and direct them as you see their talents. Well, I'm going to go through some of the specific ones that I have used that I have found that is better than anything that I can buy in that. And we're going to start at the beginning because one of the most important things for me is whether my children can read. Why? Because I want them to be able to read the Bible. And if it's hard for them to read or they don't understand it, why would they ever go there and spend time there? So that is my main reason for trying to teach my children to read. And teaching is just like anything. It's just a continuation. You teach your children to say please and thank you and to walk. And it's just a continuation of that. And you can set aside time or whatever. You know, I'm not for just free, let's sit on the couch or something like that or whatever. You know, I just have a balance and things. But this one is really one of the best ones that I found. And I didn't discover this until it was my three younger ones. And it was just to really keep them kind of amused. But I bought one of these. And actually, I think this came in a pack. Maybe it was from Sam's. But it's the alphabet where it has the little letters that come out. But what I used this for was we started to singing the ABC song, you know, ABC. And then she would point to it, you know, and the LMNOP, you know, which is really L, you know, and pointing to that. And so she got that. And then we started just doing the sounds of it and just kind of forfeited that. Now, I talked about fast track learning, reading. Anyway, they don't do any of the letter recognition first. But what I found is when they're really, really young, if you're starting really, really young, it helps to say that because when they're trying to write a letter and they don't know it, or they look dumb if they don't even know what the letter is, you know. So we went through that. Whatever you want to do, but the sounds are very important. And then I started having them go ahead and spell out a word for, you know, and do like, you know, dog or God, you know, is a good one. Also, another thing is that if you lose a letter, you can always, one's missing, so I just cut this out. But this is also good to have some extra ones you can put, cut them out so that they fit in here, and assign that to one of your older children. That can do it. You know, go in here and then cut it and make it so it will stick in here and keep it under, because they cannot spell dad because there's only one D. So in other words like that. And so they can lay them out. And this is really good for spelling. And that was the thing that I did with my younger ones that I didn't do with my older ones, who are not very good spellers, but the younger ones are very good spellers, is that I began by teaching spelling before reading. I didn't mean to. It was all God, you know. I mean, I don't say, oh, she's sober. I don't have a clue. But it was like, oh, wow, this is really neat. So I started doing it like that and spelling out cat, you know, like that. And then when they saw the word, then they understood it and they became better spellers. And right now, I have Macy, and she's 5. And just to give her things, she wants to go ahead, but she's really not capable to go too far ahead. Or maybe she is, but we just don't have time to help her to go too far ahead. So anyway, but this is the Abeka. I have it taped over. This is so we can find. There's so many books around. Our kids have books all the time, always reading something. And so to identify whose book this is, I just staple it on. I'll use a staple remover. But this is hers. And right now, we have one of our, actually, it's Easton, does the spelling with them. And he just calls that word out to him, hat, you know. And then she does the thing. And then if it's not, no, ha, ha. huh, what's that? Oh, you know. And then she gets it, and then she goes like that and goes through all this. If they want to write, then they can write that out after it's up there, but it's much easier. Now, I do have one that has the upper and lower case. It's bigger, and as a matter of fact, this is not on this, but Osco's, I don't know if you know, I've only gone in there. They had them cheap, 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 cheap. This other one, too, cheap. I spent big money on these. They're cheap over there. So do you know what that place is? Okay. They on TV land, they won't know that. But anyway, so going through this is really very, very helpful. And it's good, you know, even for remedial or whatever, if they can get beyond, you know, doing that, but they can do it very fast or making cards or whatever. So that's what I do for the spelling that I think has just been really, really good. The other one that I have done that I have gotten incredible results from is this is our, and they, I said this, they have this over there too. I think it's only $12, and I paid, I think, 25 or 30 or something. But this is the United States. And what I like about it is that the pieces come out, underneath it has the capital, and the way that I work with this is that I have three little ones that are on a table, and I take it out. I turn mine upside down, so I only know this upside down. I won't be able to see it, so I have to do it this way. But I have, and let me just tell you something. I was terrible in geography. I didn't have a clue. And yet, I'm telling you, though, I got straight A's. It doesn't matter what you get. You know, you can just zip right through, get through the thing, and it just, it went in and it went out, and it's over. So what I do is that the smaller states, you know, that there's more of them on the East Coast, my older one sits there, the one that's in the middle sits in the middle, and then the one with the big states, California and stuff, sits on the other side. And I divide them up between them, and then to get started, you would say, I'll do it, because I can only do it upside down, is she would have that, and I'd say, okay, this is Sacramento, California. First and last name, Sacramento, California. You get the state, the first and last name to it. And then I said, can you find that? Now I've pointed to it so she can see the shape, and then she can find it and then put it in. After they get better at it, you can just call out what's Sacramento, and then they do California. When Macy was only three, she was just playing with the puzzle, and she said, Mama, somebody took my Boise, Idaho. Now, she could not read a thing, but she knew the shape was missing, and she couldn't find that. Somebody had taken her state. And so it really does help. And I will tell you that people are just absolutely, they just can't believe they do it. If you have a globe and you go to it and you show them where that is and if they can find it on there and where they are from that. The other thing that helps is when you're going through it is that you say, okay, this is St. Paul, Minnesota. Who lives there? Well, Grandma lives up in St. Paul, Minnesota, you know, and where people live, and or family, or some place you went to, or some place, you know, that you'd like to go, or, we have the Missouri Arch or something, but something that might be there that you say that's in that city or something, or where the capital is or whatever. But this really helps quite a bit. And then to use it for curriculum, what I do is this is really a good one. I just picked the one that hadn't been corrected. But what they do is they take out the state and then they trace around it. She traced West Virginia here. It's not a very good thing, but she traced on this and she cut it out and glued it. Now, the first year that I did it, all they did was they traced around it, then they colored it in, and then they wrote what was on there. Now, they all are capital letters. So that's fine for this age, and then when they get older, then they can discern to do it upper and lower case, and then my other daughter, she does it in nice cursive, and she writes that out. Then I found out it wasn't the girls, but the boy could not cut. I mean, he was just, you know, it was a wad, you know, I mean, he couldn't cut through anything. So we shifted over, put it on construction paper, and now they trace and cut it out and glue. And that's a lesson in itself. But they love to get into that glue. Right now there's a glue that has a top that you can, it stays good all the time. I don't know what it's by Crayola. Also, another thing that they did to just enhance it because they know it and just to get back into it is that we bought one of these. And I will tell you that I am just one very big on posters. I think this is, you know, the most there ever is $2. But then they have to look for the state and cut that out. This is Macy's, I have three. And then she cuts that out and then she pastes that on. And so this is good to kind of see the state thing. It's just something for them to do, and it's a good thing to put in their portfolio also. I didn't put it in the notes because I kind of forgot about it, but one of the other things that we do for geography, and it's not in your notes, and that is the United States Presidents. This was a couple dollars at one of those supply stores. And what we do is we cut them out and make little cards with them. And you can buy cards, there are a lot more. But we cut them out and you put them in groups of eight. And we sing the presidents, okay? And one of the things I wanted to tell you is that when we began doing this is a foundational thing. You start with the younger ones. They sing the presidents. They know the presidents. They know who they are, who's the president, who's not. You would be absolutely surprised and shocked that so many don't know any of the presidents. They don't know we had a President Tyler or anything about that. And then that's your foundation, and they become to recognize that. And then you can add in when the wars were, who's what presidents were in which war. You can also read about each one of the presidents. We have a Funk and Wagnall just book that we bought at the grocery store and read about it. Or you can look it up. Another thing that you can do is you can start reading about that president in some of the books that we talked about, like in the Sower series, and see the godly men that were our presidents and things, and read about them a little bit more. And so this isn't one of the presidents, but they're in those books, and go through that. But the way that it goes is it's to one little, two little, three little, name is one George Washington, two John Adams, three Thomas Jefferson, four James Madison, I'm not gonna sing, five James Monroe, six John Quincy Adams, and seven is Andrew Jackson. Eight Martin Van Buren, nine William Harrison, 10, and they sing the presidents. And when they're doing it, they put them down or they lay them out like that. And they'll get through all of them and you will be just surprised. And then they're interested. When you say like this, I mean, we'll watch an old movie and see Teddy Roosevelt, you know, and they'll go, oh, there's Teddy Roosevelt, you know, that's a 26th president. And they know all that. And people just think, oh, that. And so if you have one of those mother-in-laws or whatever that doesn't think, that's a really great way to do it. And then also for your older children, then they can look at and go through them methodically and find out what presidents and things like that, and they could put a whole book together. That's much better than going and taking a book and reading. It's not going to stay. And we know in our history books, or if you're not aware of what's in our history books, is nothing but garbage, you know. I think, didn't they say that Marilyn Monroe was mentioned five times or something in the history books, but they had failed to put some of our great leaders and things. And there's some really godly leaders, and we need to know that our American, and this is a perfect time if you're not doing history or you're switching over or whatever, to do American history is really good. So that's the, also, okay, I wanted to tell you, because that George Washington Carver, we were studying Missouri. What we do is that once a week we just go over one of the states and just talk about it and read about it. And then I make it on it. I didn't bring it, but it's a bigger 5x7 card. Is that the size? Yeah, 5x7. And then I write different things on it so that I can remember things that I've already asked them. Then I start asking them about them. I ask them during that time, but I ask them when we're in the car. I ask them in front of other people. I ask them in front of Daddy. So the other day we were having lunch, and I said, who can tell me about Missouri? Who was it that he was born here and he helped to, and right away they said, you know, it was George Washington Carver, you know, and Daddy, you know, he was such a godly man. You know, he sought God every morning, and they remembered so much of what I had told them, you know, about this man, and he sought God on what to do about the planning and went through, and she kept saying that, you know, and she asked God, and I don't remember saying so much of that, but she was just going on and on about that and the peanut thing and stuff. And so what we're going to do is, because they have such an interest for him, we're going to go ahead and I'll read this out loud to them. And, You know, I don't think I've ever read this. I mean, my older ones just really love it. So you can just springboard from that and even maybe finding out what president, if you want to hook geography and history together, what president was born in what area, and begin reading about that president. So it's just, and, you know, I'm not one for, you know, I get, what is it, Konos or whatever, you know, some things where you have to put a lot, I just shut down, you know, I'm just like, oh, I can't do this, you know. But this is my level, you know, I can do this. This is like, this, if I can do it, you can do it. So anyway, those are the other, and also another thing on this is that, I don't know, sometimes when you have a lot of children, you seem to miss, well, I found that Tyler didn't know all that much about it. She did, but she didn't, not as well as I'd like, or if you don't use it, you lose it, so maybe that's the case. But she needed a refresher, and I needed a tutor, so I got her to do this. So she does the lesson in this, and so it's helping to reinforce in her. She's reading about it, and she's doing that, and I'm right there working, but I can hear her, and it doesn't matter how old. Today, all of our leaders are gone, and Tara, who is our 9-year-old, she homeschools them, and she does a really good job. All their papers are in, they're all graded, she does everything when we're gone, and so she's only 9. So I it couldn't be probably a 9-year-old boy, but I think a 9-year-old girl could do that. I don't know. You know, some they just, you know, she's just like I am with that. So anyway, the other thing that I'd like to do, and I'm determined because I cannot find it, is I am determined to make a map of the world because they don't have that. I would like to have one, a map of the world, and glue it to that part and maybe cut it out. Maybe I can get one of my sons to help me to do that and glue it and have it. And so, and have and if any of your husbands just want to make something, there is nothing like that out on the market that I know about that could make something like that. But dividing them by the country and even the bodies of water that could be taken out so that they can place them in. But it's something about taking it and putting it in and bringing it in and placing it in. There's something about drawing one, and I've looked into a lot of things, but if you see good fruits from something, you want to keep doing it. So I wish that we had something like that. I'm going to go ahead and skip over to math. By far, the thing that has helped all my children is their ability to, I mean, my using flashcards. They have them in the stores, but I don't like them. They don't go up high enough. I don't like the way they're flipped over. I just want to make my own, and they're cheaper, and they're just the way that I want them. And you may want them differently, but I'm going to show you what I've had with that. One of our biggest things is that my husband's business used to bring him into the schools all the time, and we were working with a math teacher or something, but we were in the teacher's room lounge or something, and somebody said to, your son doesn't know, you know, his times tables, you know, he doesn't know his multiplication tables. And she said, of course he doesn't. Does any of your students know it? And they said, no. This was in junior high. This was ninth grade, junior high. They do not know them. They are not being taught. And even homeschool moms are letting their kids use a different method or whatever. There was a time when, and I can't even think of what the method is, but I don't want to say anything against it, but they have like these cards down, and it was methods of figuring it out. It is so much easier just to know it like that. And it really is such a handicap when they don't know it. It's good to make the discipline their mind and to help them. And I think I mentioned I had a son that was almost impossible to teach him to read, and when he was 11. And usually if they have a problem in one area, they don't have another, not so. He couldn't do that, and when we came to multiplication, he could not memorize. Forget it. I mean, I could have a little one memorize, and he's 12, 13, 15. He could not memorize it. And I prayed and cried and prayed and cried and prayed and cried about it. And he ended up learning to skip count, which is like 2, 4, 6, 8. He can do them by the nines. Now, that is very difficult. But it's not because he just couldn't do the other. He couldn't do it by songs. He couldn't do it by anything. So seek God. There's a lot of ways, and it may be something that you never even thought about, but there is a way. But we tried it all, and nothing worked. But I was determined that he was going to learn that. And so he is just very, very fast and can add. I mean, it's incredible what he can do. But it wasn't until he was much older, and it wasn't with a method that I could ever master. I could never do that. I can do 2, 4, 6, 8, and that's about it. But after that, I'm gone. So anyway, the flashcards are this. First of all, I begin with the flashcards, and I just found these, and I thought, well, these are easier. The first flashcards, when they're little, is you want to start with the numbers, okay? And that is, you know, the 1, 2, like this, And they start, you put them down, and then you have them pick them up, you know. Where's number one? And you can start to point to them, and they start to get a recognition of them. You can make these. I just got them off a poster because I thought, well, they look good. And then when you lose them, and you have to make them, and put those out, and put them in order, and things like that. Now, these only go up to 12. You can go up to 20. I used to have cards that, because it was so hard for them to understand, I'd have one, and then 2, 3, all the way to 10. Then I would turn these over this way, and that would be 10, 11, I guess it would go to 9. So this would be 10, then 11 was adding the 10 to it like that. And so that's another method I have. The other is, this was on there, and a lot of the words to recognize this is or sight words anyway. And so it's not a bad idea. I used to be so opposed. I don't want any sight read. I don't want to, you know, I was just, you know, just went way to one extreme. But it really helps them in some of the books that they read. They'll really be handicapped if they only do phonics and don't do any sight. So you kind of have to get a balance in that. But this is a way that they can recognize those. And then once they get this down, they start to put these in order and lay them out along the floor. And it gives them something to do and a little bit of sounding out or whatever, very similar to that. Then they go into the addition. These are Macy's addition cards. And you start with 1 plus 1, 1 plus 2, 2 plus like this. And put them like this, and that she can, when she gets these, that she can say them as fast as like that. You can just, she'll just yell, you know, she'll just call them out. And what you do is with number families. Now, one of the things, if you notice, I always cut the card. I always have the plain on the one side and then the striped on the back. And in the upper right corner, it's almost too faint to see. I usually put a red or a black. I guess it's on the left side, either one. But and you have the answer on there. And if it's something that could be upside down, make sure that you put a line under the bottom one. But and then we add those. But the number families are, it just has that in addition. It is the one, like the 6 family has all the answers add up to 6. So like, you know, if Cooper, when he first started, and we said, well, do you think, you know, he's going really fast and he's really excited that he's got these all. Well, you think you do? Oh, yeah, I can do that. So you lay them all down and say, okay, this the answer to this is 6, the answer to this is 6, the answer to this is 6. You know, can you get that? What's the answer to this? 6. What's the answer to this? 6. Oh, he thinks he's like, so, this is so great. I know all the answers. We'll keep practicing them, and then we'll incorporate them and stick them into the ones he knows. So then he goes through until he can add those. Then you would go the 7 number family and go like that, as long as they're keeping up or just stay there. And then the way that this works is it's a game. You remember playing war with card games? Okay, what it is that if you can tell me the answer, then you get the card. If you don't get the answer, then I get the card. So if they say that this is 4, then they get the card. And then there's 4 again, and there, no, they said 4. So I said, no, that's 3. I get it. And then we go like that. And always they're going to win. You know, I mean, it's really very difficult that they know less. If they are those kind of slow learners, I would add the 0 one. We don't do that one. 0 plus, you know, 3 is 3. And they should be able to beat you in that. Then with the ones that are left, then you say, now, if you want to see if you can win again, we'll do it one more time because I want to see if I can beat you. You go and practice these, and then you come back, and then we'll do them again. And just work on the ones that they don't know. That's really the benefit of it, is that you can single out what they know and what they don't know. If they know it, why keep going over it? It takes time away. Concentrate on what they don't know, and even if it's down to 1 or 2. These are the addition, and then we have the multiplication, and of course you go with the 2s, then the 3s, and the 4s. And I usually just put this above it, so that I know which ones. When she's learning the ones, then she keeps those together. Then she'll learn the 3s. Then she'll put the 2 and 3s together and do them together. Then she learns all the floor, only the 4s, and then she brings them back in and incorporates them in and just keeps adding. And then when they get older, you just have a big stack of them. If you have 2 the same age or one that should be tutoring because really they don't know, you know, I usually try and pick either they're excelling in it and it would be good for them, or they are lacking in it and it's very good for them. So they can be doing that, and they're constantly looking at it. And then one does it, and then they see how fast they can do it, and then the other one does it and sees how many that they got right, and they start going for speed. But it is really good. So these are all of them. And then at the end of the year or in the beginning of the year or whatever, you just have one of your students, not you, one of your students, lay out all the twos out and all the threes out and the fours and see which ones are missing and then make new ones. And that's because they're always, I don't know, they disappear. So that's with the math. But I will tell you that that has helped our kids. And if you can add, and some want to do the division. Now, if they're not very good at reversing it, you might want to do the division and decide whether you want to go sideways or with, you know, the frame that way and do like that if you want to do the other. And I would suggest probably using a different colored card, you know, so it's not confusing or whatever. And then maybe you even want to put them together so that they go back and forth or something. I haven't had to do that. I mean, when they get the one, they can easily do what does, and they just kind of fill in that. But if yours needs that, then go ahead and do it. Let me go. Also, one of the things you can do, too, is they can get points for it. If you don't want to give them a treat, if they really need encouragement, that they can get a certain amount of points and then add up those points somewhere up on a marker board or something is good, so it's displayed that they got this many points today and they got like that, and they add up those. And what we do, we kind of have a somewhat of a competition, is if I'll have like last week we had, and it was for everything, including cleaning out their homeschool bucket at the end. We have the Rubbermaid, you know, that you can clear, and I think I mentioned it before, but they keep all their things. On Friday, they have to go through, I have to make sure all the papers are corrected, they have to put them in their own portfolios. I cannot do all that. Put them in their own portfolios, and then once they get that in, and then they clean up their whole bucket like that, then I check everything. And once they get all of that, they get a certain amount of points for that. Plus, for every paper they got turned in that has a little sticker on it, which, believe it or not, they get a sticker for every, but they don't really think about that. But they get a little happy face, you know, that's about this big or something on there. So they get a sticker for it, and they add those up. And whoever has the most points at the end gets the first pick of the first candy bar. We bought 3 candy bars. And so they get to choose which one they like. I buy 3 different ones, and so they get their first choice. They'll take anything that's sweet, you know, so it's not a big problem. But that one gets to pick, and they're the same size and everything because they're about the same. So that's how they go. But that's just 1 candy bar a week. And then you guys go ahead and brush their teeth after, those who are worried. Okay, now I'm going to go on music appreciation. And, you know, like I said in the beginning, don't try and impress. You know, go out to impress. If it happens to impress somebody, that's fine. But mostly I did this is because I wanted to know music better. And also I had read somewhere about or having classical music playing in the background actually, and I may be totally off on this, and if somebody can correct me after class and I'll bring it, but I think that they said that it helps to produce an enzyme, I think it was, or something, any something that feeds the brain, okay, when this music is going on. And so we used to have the ones, we had a big box and it had different composers all in it. That was good, but it was very hard for me to distinguish one from another because they were all kind of mixed in. So then I decided to go and just get the best of, like Chopin, and just listen to that. So this is what we do. We have this inside of these that I happened to get at Kmart, very cheap. I think they were only $5. It has a little book about them too, okay? There's a lot of places that you can read about it. Please pre-read it, because sometimes they've had illicit relationships and they say it all in there, even if it's geared toward children. So read that, cross those out so that you can read what you want to read. Or there might be a lot of nonsense and you just want to go and highlight certain things about that person. But anyway, it's in here. And then what we do is we play this during homeschooling. All this month we are listening to Mozart. This was last month. We listened to Mozart all. Now, Mozart did operas, and so there's operas in there. So those are enough to drive me nuts. I don't know if I can last the whole month, but they're just, you know, getting to me. The music is fine, but that is a little bit much. And then we have this up on where we have our CD player, and it has a little stick, you know, like that, and it has a picture of Mozart And this is the one, we have that little sticky stuff. This is dangerous for carpets, so be careful with that if it gets in. And then we have Chopin. And then the other thing is I do is I say, who could spell Chopin? Or I'll say, you know, who was it that, and it, you know, it's just the three little ones. The older ones can do it, but I say, you know, who is the one who wrote the operas at 11, you know? Oh, I know what it is, you know. And so I said, well, can you spell Mozart? And then they spell Mozart and things. And, you know, the older ones go, oh, wow, that is so good. You know, they get so excited. And Macy always says, I know. And she'll start with, you know, Chopin with the T, you know. And we go, C. And she goes, that's right. It's, you know, you almost have to give it to her. But we're also thrilled that she can spell that. And then with them once a month is that they pick out, I bought these, and if anybody knows any that are better, because these are kind of caricatures, but some are all right. Here's Brahms. But that you can get these coloring books. They're very inexpensive. I think they used to have them. I saw them. There's a phone number in the back, and I can put it in. But I think they had them at Barnes & Noble's in the children's section. But and go through, and the best thing to do is get the CDs that you're going to get first. Then go and find out which coloring books that you need. Some of them, like these really, really early composers, there is nobody in here that you've ever even heard of, except when you get to the very, one of the last ones back here is Vivaldi. And so there's also another, and I meant to bring it, but there is a curriculum that did pretty much what I had already been doing. It has a tape and it has a coloring book, and then you read through it and then they color with it. The thing I didn't like is that they spent so much time on one composer and all about his life in details and pictures. The coloring of it was not that good, and so I just really wasn't impressed with it. But it did work. The system did work with that. But they had Vivaldi, and I remember I had made, and I would just get these, and I'd make copies just of this one for them to color. And one day they were, I think it was Tara, she was four or something. She's going around, I can't find my Vivaldi, I can't find him, you know. And it's so funny that she, you know, hearing that, you know. And then the other thing that is amazing is we'll be in a restaurant or a store and they can pick out who it is. Let me tell you something, I couldn't. I mean, I'm like, it sounds familiar, you know, where did I hear this before? But they'll say, oh, that's so-and-so. And so it's, and then in like Chopin, they did, Macy was talking about, I just hate that funeral song that he does, you know, and stuff, you know. I don't know why anybody would want to listen to that, she says. So anyway, so that is a really neat curriculum that's music appreciation, and also having that music helps calm children too, if it's not one of those, but if it's, you know, like they'll be doing that too. So they do it. You find people are going like that. Other ideas for posters is learning the days of the week for the really little ones, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and putting them out and saying what they are and putting them out in order so that they can get used to saying them and seeing them in order. Some children have a lot of problem with that. And then also doing the January, February, March, April, and the little song that goes with it, you know, is really good. And putting them out in order. And, you know, it really helps. And do some kind of a system, too, if you can do them. And I had little pieces of paper that were the colors of the seasons, and I'd have them put them under the seasons so that they understood what the seasons are. I mean, we really have seasons here in Missouri, so it was exciting to teach them about summer, winter, spring, and fall and going through that. So these are just some things, but you know, your imagination will go with you. If you just go in and you can buy a $2 poster and make a curriculum out of it and teaching them something that they really need to know. And then when it's done, it's done. You can put it away, bring it out for somebody else, throw it away, give it away, or something. But you have not invested something where you buy this whole thing and it is not working. And usually it's because it's too complicated and it just doesn't work. And so I'm just not that happy with that. And I think I told you last week that I would bring something about the drawing. This is a how to draw the head. My father was did portraits and things. And so... And Tyler seems to have a talent. I think it's this one that she did. But she really enjoys it, and she sketches, you know, the different things. And she's never had any formal training whatsoever. But she'll do that, or she'll copy some of my father's. It kind of looks like him a little bit. But she'll go and do that. And I don't know if you've all, you know, watched those movies, Sense and Sensibility and some of those, but they talk about an accomplished woman, you know, and she's well-read, and she sketches, and she's music, and all these things. And I'm not trying to make her into, but it's nice to have a well-rounded, you know, because I don't really have a lot. I was in sports a lot, you know, and you know, and when you get older, you don't do those anything. It's nice to have those. And she's very content to be by herself doing that, doing needlepoint. I meant to bring that too, but she does a lot of needlepoint. But nobody ever taught her. I bought her a little thing. She saw it. And we're just in this frame of mind that they've got to take some kind of class or instruction or whatever. But I just gave it to her. And, you know, she didn't know to put the thread in just like one or two. She put the whole big thick thing in. Well, you know, her stuff came out so beautiful, her little things, you know, and she started with the cross stitch and she does all this stuff. But she does it much thicker. And then Macy just got caught into that. But some of those are very expensive. And if it doesn't have it marked on it, it's hard. Well, Tyler took these old diapers that we had that are thinner ones, and she sketched things out for Macy. We put it in one of those, and she's only five, and she does me needlepoint very well. And so they're kind of putting together some of their stuff for their hope chest and things, you know, little bibs or little pillows. You can easily make them into pillows or wall things or whatever. And so doing the crafts are really good, and letting them do that, because I'm not very much into doing crafts so much. I mean, I'll do it if I want a centerpiece. I'll go ahead and do a craft thing or whatever. But just to do a craft, I don't have time, you know. So, but to teach them to do it, or if they have that, we need to meet each of our children's needs, because, see, even though she's not like I am, she's a different person, and so I need to make sure that she's fed and she's interested in things. So I give her all those things, and just trying to find something that's inexpensive, and if she seems to go with it, great. But I have never instructed her in anything, and she can do incredible things, needlepoint, crocheting, knitting, you name it. She sews. She won a blue ribbon last year for a state and stuff, and it's really incredible. But it's giving her the supplies and letting her do it and not feeling. And then if she really seems to excel in it, she did take a sewing class, but she just went right up to the top because she learned all this, and then she's learning what the real names are, what it's really used for, or how to really do it well, and she can just really excel. But learning themselves is something that we just don't afford our children anymore, because we just have gotten so sophisticated with things. And so the last point that I wanted to talk about is organized play versus free time and letting, helping our children to become creative. And really the sad part of our society is that because of television, because of our sophisticated toys even, though I think you've probably seen how the toys that we had are all coming back again, because those other just don't hold their interest. You know, they just, those mechanical battery, they break, they don't, you can only do one thing with them, and when you've done that, and there's nothing more you can do with it. Where if you have a Legos or you have Tinker Toys or whatever blocks, that they can continue to create and be creative in things. And so making sure that you provide those kind of things and let them have time with it. In my workers at home, and I talk about toys and locking them up or putting them away or whatever, really helps that. It keeps your house clean, and it also helps them to learn how to push beyond boredom and to become creative. And so what we do is we have them, and we usually buy the big Rubbermaid or whatever buckets to put those in, because unfortunately the boxes that you get do not, you have to almost assemble them, so they don't come in big enough boxes anymore. I used to just take those and have them in there, but they don't do that anymore. But putting them in there and labeling them like that, and then they take that out, and that's all they get all that day. And then they have to just work with that. And they'll hit a place where they just can't you know, they're just bored, they're whiny, it's not working, they don't want to play with this anymore, can we get something else out? And I just say, no, that's it, that's all you get. And if they come and there's nothing to do or something, I'm always ready and so excited to go, great, you know what, because I need, come here. And then I go and I get a toothbrush and I get, you know, some cleaning things and I say, see right here the jams of the sliding glass door? Just brush those out. Now watch this, and I do like this, you know, or we go along baseboards or whatever and just do this until, and they go, well, that's, a, you know, and I go, no, you have helped me so much. I'm so glad you're available. We're just going to do it. And I will not let them out of it. And I just keep getting excited. I'm so excited for them. And they're just, oh, my gosh. Now, sometimes they'll get into it, and sometimes they do. If they go with a good attitude, I'll usually reward them at the end. But let me tell you, when they're done with that job, they're out of there. They are not going to hang out. They're not going to tell you that they're bored. They're not going to do anything like that. Or there's nobody to play with. That's fine. We don't need to play. You know, let's put away childish things. Let's help me out here, and we'll get like this. Can you get under the bed, pull everything out? Just pull everything out. We're going to go under the bed and pull everything out. And just take that as a golden opportunity. Get it all out. Get them under their dusting or vacuuming. Then decide what you're going to do. And just don't let them go. Make sure that they are serious about that. And, you know, you might find one that really likes to do that, too. Sometimes they'll stick around if you're really up and happy and stuff, you can keep somebody going for a while. But if you don't, and if you just feed that, oh, you don't have somebody to play, well, let me call your friends and things like that, and giving in to all that whining and stuff, you're just really doing them a disservice in many, many ways. And you just need to, you know, and then put a penalty on that kind of behavior as well, because God always rewards good and then punishes evil or tries to redirect us. And that's what we want to do. But not to give in to that is very, very good. And if nothing else, you always gain at this. You know, you either gain somebody who's going to stop whining or you gain free labor. Either way, it's a really, really good. And if you're not one that can really think of something, have a list. Have a list. And as a matter of fact, with disciplining some of the older children, sometimes you ask, well, what do I do with my older children? And it is really hard. I mean, everybody says something different, and you don't want to harden their hearts, you know, by, you know, paddling them or switching them or spanking them or whatever when they're older and you know, create something between you. You don't want that, but at the same time, you want to follow what Scripture says. So Scripture does say that usually a bad attitude is rooted in pride, and it says that He humbled their hearts with labor. God says He does that, and that's on Psalms. And so what we have found that really does a really good work, and it helps us a lot because we've got a farm, we've got a giant house, we just need help. And so we just humble their hearts with labor. And our oldest one, he had a problem with something. It was just an attitude that we just could not get, and he knew it was there. And it was just very faint. I'm sure nobody knows it, but I noticed it, and it was just not him. And so I decided that we have a cement wall that's coming, but we have a lot of natural rock around, and I thought, I'd always pictured, you know, it would have been so neat if they had put like natural stone or just, you know, set them up how they just set them, you know. And so I just did that. I mean, that was one of his things. And it took him, and it was all after work at night, and he was doing wheelbarrows in the dark doing that. And it really did change him, you know, and I got a nice wall there, you know, now it looks very nice and stuff. So we humble their hearts with labor is a good. And it doesn't mean that you can't do both if it's necessary. It doesn't mean that it can't be ongoing. But if you see those big jobs, those things that I would really like to do, then have them as a list. Not that work is punishment or whatever, but it's for humility. If we start working, if you start to get prideful or an attitude or something, and you just get in there and start working, you'll be surprised how it really does change your heart to humility and things. And sometimes we just need to have that in many ways. Okay, one of the things that I failed to, that's in your notes, but I didn't talk about, was the Geo Safari. We have two of them, as a matter of fact, because they would fight about, you know, my time, and I wanted them to be on it, but I didn't want the other ones. Oh, and there's another one that I need to see if I can remember. I can read, I can write, I can spell. Read, write, and spell. Read, write, and spell. Have you ever heard of, I'm going to jump to this, or I'm going to Well, I'll tell you after. Anyway, Geo Safari. The cards, the basic cards that come with them are really good. As they were trying to learn more and more, some are just worthless because as soon as you kind of know what they are, it really doesn't help them to think. It is really good for the states and things, you know, if they're older, to do that, to know what the states or capitals and things like that. But a lot of the cards are pretty useless, I think. But most of them are, you know, the basic ones that come with it are pretty good. And usually you can get it for about $100 or whatever. The other thing that's good is that you can get a thing that's a blank card, and it just has a code that you put in. And what I've done is I've taken a poster that I like, because I didn't see one that was on like the human body and the body digestive system and things, and I had one on digestive system, cut out the things, put it on here, put it on the code and things. Now the other thing that I do is that, for instance, if we were going to do, we couldn't do it on the colors. Some of these are the little ones that have had these on. Well, whatever. Anyway, if you, this would have to be in color so it wouldn't work, but here's one on shapes, for instance. If I wanted to put this in their portfolio, you can take these to a place where they have copies, put it down, then reduce the size so it goes on an 8.5 by 11, and then they practice it. Once they get 100%, this is what I do with my older ones on geography. When they got 100%, then I would give them the card that matched it, and then they would go and put the numbers next to the answers over here, and then I would correct it. That could go on their portfolio, so it made it. They should do something like that for homeschool families. You know, it's just like if you just did a little bit more, that would work. But anyway, I have used this a lot, and you can turn the sound off, you know, so it did a little, you know, it does that all the time. But anyway, that's really good. The other one that I wanted to tell you that I have been really impressed with, I wish that there was better things for computers, but I really have not found too many, and that might be something that maybe if you do know of ones that are computer games, because a lot of us have computers that you've really been happy with that are decent and things, share them next week. But one that I found was called, I think it's called I Can Read, I Can Write, I Can Spell, you know, so I think that's what the name, Read, Write, and Spell. On a CD-ROM, and I will find out what the actual name is and bring it in next week. But my kids really do love it. At first they didn't like it because if they've had any kind of other ones or they play video games, this is not that interesting. But if you get rid of everything, don't let them play on it at all, and come back with this after a couple weeks, they'll be really happy with it. But what it does is it helps them on typing. It tells them where to put their fingers and things. But it was my sister-in-law who is over... she teaches at a private school, and she teaches computer, but my brother is really the computer genius, and he gets it all set up for her, but she's a teacher, and so she does this. But she said, because I said, well, Ruth, is there anything that you really like? And she says, I'll tell you, they just can't wait to get on it, and I have seen, they know finger placement really well, and they go over each one. It's on sounds and things like that. And so they have, and I'm pretty sure right now that we're running the one that we got on our IBM. We have Mac, but they have both. I think they have it for both. And sometimes, look into it, but sometimes you get a disc of both and you guys can share them or something like that. But they're inexpensive, but I will bring that next time. But it does, it has a hand and lefty and is the guy, you know, and stuff like that. And they have some kind of blob thing or something, you know, so it has some kind of stuff, but it's nothing that I have found offensive. Every time I've come in, everything's fine, you know, and so they do that, they add it, they have to do it in sequence, they have to put the space in it, and I mean, our son, who's 8, he just got into this year, and he gets up before everybody's up, he's in the computer room, and he is doing this thing, and he, you know, goes and learns, and it's one letter per time all the way through to learn all of it. So anyway, that's a really good one. Also, somebody shared when we broke for a minute that when we're talking about composers, there is a book. It's called The Spiritual Lives of the Great Composers, and it's by Patrick Cavanaugh. And so you can get that maybe on CBD or some, but that would be a really good basic. And that might be where you might want to start. Go and get that first. See who they talk about. Get their CDs and build from that. So and then, you know, study those, because let's do some really good composers instead of talking about the one. And also, I'll try and bring the Geo Safari, the blank cards, to kind of show you next time. One last thing, and that I didn't bring, but I brought it for there, and I hesitated because I really think that spelling, the way that you have a child write something out and find the spelling words what they need, but if you really want a curriculum for it, I used to think it was very, very good, and it is if you want a curriculum. But my children said that it really wasn't that beneficial as far as it really, really helping. I think that it's, if you don't use it, you lose it. So if you're having them write a lot of time, you know, a lot, then you're going to not just copy things out, but I mean actually writing or writing letters, you're going to see the words that they don't know. If they start to tell about themselves or what they did, then you're going to see what they don't know, or what word they're using improperly. You know, it's not this word, it's another word, and you can go off of that. And so I believe more in that. But if you feel more comfortable, you're new at homeschooling, or just your husband said, they can't spell, I want a curriculum, I would definitely recommend Spelling Power. It's a very thick book. Some people have said it's like the Saxon math, you know, for spelling. The best part about it is that it's for all the grades. I mean, it goes beginning to end. It's non-consumable, so if you have many children, or even if you have one, you can start there and you can go through. There are a lot of benefits to it. What they have them do is they take a placement test. If they are not, if they're like first or second grade, they just go at the beginning and go through. But if they're not there, then they take a placement test to see where they begin, and they'll start in either level A, B, you know, group A, B, C, like that, and they'll start going through that. And then the benefit of it really is very much like these flashcards. What they do is you call out the word to them, and you say it properly. She goes through this whole thing. If you take the time to read it, which I did, that we say it wrong. If you say it wrong, you're going to spell it wrong. Like, I used to always say jewelry. It's not jewelry. You'll spell it wrong. It's jewelry. It's jewel with re at the end. Jewelry. Okay, so anyway, that is, so they say, make sure you say it properly, and then they write out. If they don't write it out, those become your spelling list. If they know it, they don't do it. They just keep going on and on. But I found, and I knew my daughter was good at spelling. She was the first one that I started with this, starting spelling first before she read. And she just goes through. I have Axel's our tutor for spelling, and he goes through, or no, Easton, I don't know who's one of them is. Anyway, goes through the spelling, and she just goes through one group after another, after another, after another, and maybe gets three wrong in like six groups. You know, and I said, there's a limit, okay? We're only going for 15 or 20 minutes, and then don't do any more, and then we'll just go to the next one. But she can't get any wrong. She just keeps going. And so this will help to see where they are, and it gets their basics. But it's basically in the same premise that if they don't know those basic words and things and words that they use and things. So it is really good. But I would suggest, too, if you do get that, since it's a big thing, and if you wreck the pages or whatever, but is to copy for each one. When I had four going through it at one time, I copied the pages, you know, that have the list in it, and then I stapled it together, put their name at it to keep track of which ones, you know, and then I'd circle those that they got wrong, so every once in a while I could come back and ask, though they do that. They do a recall afterwards and stuff, so it helps it. The other benefit to it on this study sheet that they do, and I think that's the thing that the kids said that didn't really help, there's different ways, there's 10 steps to learning it, and one is, you know, I remember them doing something on a surface where they're spelling it like that. They said it and it didn't really do. What they found is just calling it out to one another was really what helped them. But it just depends on the child. But anyway, also, that if they miss a word in their geography or in their math, they can't spell subtraction or whatever, you can put that as one of their words that they learn. And so it helps to be able to add in and make it for that particular child. Or if they've written a letter, they can put those spelling words in. Or just do a 10-step on that. But like I said, they didn't say that that really helped them that much. And it's also using it in a sentence at the bottom. So really, the whole thing is very well founded. It's just that it was through what my children said. It didn't really help. So anyway, spelling power, I will show it next time. Well, that's going to conclude.